Chaf Iyar, Siman Pei Ches Halacha Zayin. And we're going today to the Halacha Yudalit. So we're continuing with the categories of Mukta. Today we're discussing Mukta Machmas Gufoy. We mentioned really an introduction about this. Mukta Machmas Gufoy is a utensil that has no purpose. So even though technically it could serve a purpose, but as it is right now, it's not serving any purpose. And in order for it to be not Mukta, you have to prepare it. Now that means even in your mind. And preferably that you prepare it forever. Because there's a whole discussion if you prepare it for this Shabbos. So what are the classical cases? Stones. Some of you know this. You know, there are Jews that actually prepare stones, designate them before Shabbos in order to throw them when they see cars traveling on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. And hopefully they're doing it for the right reasons. But at least halachically, they designate the stones. So why is that okay? Because they designated before. The more classical cases, I would say, is using it as stoppers. But otherwise, you can't move it even at Tzach Gufa Mekoyman. That means even for its place where it's used, because it's totally useless, quote-unquote, and has no shame clean until you prepare it, unless you prepare it for Shabbos. Okay, one example the kids give is of using a kisam. That means to use a sliver of wood. In order to use a toothpick. So you can't do that on Shabbos. You have to prepare it before Shabbos. Also, he discusses candles that are not complete. They don't have the same kli. This is not so common by us. And then he adds also a type of ladder that's used for an attic. This seems to be a very specific ladder, because generally speaking, a ladder certainly could be used on Shabbos. It could be used for getting your delicious ice cream that you're hiding somewhere or whatever. So the halacha is that in general, ladders, again, even if it's a klishim lechta v'yisur, we had said that to the tzach gufa mekoyman. So it's interesting that he says that the ladder, this seems ladder seems to be very specific to the attic, that some type of attic that you usually don't use on Shabbos. Okay. Next is klishim lechta v'yisur. So the next category is klishim lechta v'yisur, which means something that's used for permissible reasons. Or even something that's used for both Isra and Heta. What's the classical example? A pot. So a pot you cook with. So it could be Klishim Lachta L'Isra, which you only be allowed to move the Tzorku from a Kormi. That means if you need this place, or you need it itself to be used. But the reason why it could be the Heta is if you store food inside, otherwise it could be considered Mutsi. You wouldn't be able to move it just to put it away. That's really, so let's say frying pans usually would be Mukta. So you wouldn't be able to stop moving it around. But if you have a regular kli shemachta leheter, you're allowed to move it even just for the purpose of the utensil itself that shouldn't break or shouldn't be stolen. But the exception is that even the utensil like this, if it's being moved for no reason at all, which is a little bit of a strange thing, so why are you moving it? But the debates or let's say if someone is nervous and he likes to play with his fork or knife on Shabbos. So really, that's a purpose in itself. But where a person is just moving it for no reason at all, so there's a limitation on these utensils, except, what's the exception? Kisvei HaKodesh, interesting. It means holy scrolls, holy writings, and food, and some extent is also to utensils. So in fact, so that's why cups, etc., plates, cups, cutlery, really shouldn't be at all a problem to move on Shabbos. Okay, the next category. Just like we said, you're not allowed to move mukta or noilad, you're not allowed to place an item underneath one of these muktas or noilads because of an interesting concept that you mean mevatikli mechan, which basically means you're destroying the use of this utensil because the mukta is going to fall into it. So unless you're going to get rid of it right away, but if you're just going to, let's say, catch the drippings of a, in the old days it was much more common, we had the dripping air conditioning. Thank God we don't have so much of that, usually. But if you have central air, but if you have these old air conditioners that drip, so then if you're going to get a cup, there'll be a problem. Unless you put water in there before, so then it really doesn't ruin it. But what's the concern? One shot is that's boina, actually, because it's considered like you're cementing, you won't be able to move it. Cementing it to the floor, the other pshat say so, because you're destroying the use of it. However, you're allowed to place a basket for your young chicks to go up on top, and you go on top of them and go down, because after you're gonna move, they're gonna have to move, they're gonna go down from the basket, you're gonna be able to move it. But if they were there, ben hashmashos, that's a problem, because we already said if it's there, ben hashmashos, it becomes also the whole Shabbos. What about sand, earth that are gathered in the corner? So in the old days, especially as we mentioned, we had dirt floors. This was very common. We had dirt gathered in order to use in Shabbos. That gathering itself is considered already that you're going to use it. But if it's scattered, then you're now allowed to move it, and it's considered mukta, and it's mukta machmas kufay. If you broke off a branch before Shabbos in order to scare away the flies and everything else, then that's okay. But in Shabbos, you won't be able to do so. Can't even take one of like the pieces of the broom that the kids is talking about, because it's mukta. We already discussed the brooms today are not considered mukta. When it comes to beams, so chashva beams that are not going to be sold, so you're allowed to move around. But if it's, again, if it's those types of beams that you're careful with, then you're not allowed to move them, and it might be even considered mukta because you're very careful with them, and they're being carefully watched in order to be sold. So definitely you can't move such items. Any mukta, here's a very major rule in mukta. Mukta, I think sometimes we grow up with a misconception, you're not allowed to touch mukta. It's not true, you're allowed to touch mukta. You're not allowed to move mukta. And if you think about this, it's really based on the Gemara and Shabbos. The whole thing was really, like the Ravid says, that it was a concern you might come to carry in Shusarabi. But there is an exception. Things like an egg that you touch and for sure you know it's going to move, that's when it is a problem. So if you have something, an item, that if you're going to touch, it's going to move inevitably, that's when it's a problem. You're allowed to cover mukta with something that's not mukta. Someone just asked me this about 2 weeks ago. He had this very expensive barbecue, and he was worried about the rain. So he asked me if he could cover it, and the halacha is you could cover it. Why you're allowed to move something that's not mukta to cover something that's mukta. And we have another concept. Now, this is very important. Leniency in mukta, that you're allowed to move something indirectly. So if you forget something, let's say, that's not mukta, right? You forgot something that's mukta and something that's not mukta, and you want that item that the mukta item is on, so you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to tip. Preferably, you should tip the item that's not mukta so the mukta part, the item will fall. And if you don't want to do it the right way, you're allowed to actually lift it and shake it off somewhere else. What's the classical example? Now remember, we're talking about you forgot. If you purposely left it there, that would be a problem because then it'll be a base, it'll be a basis, which we'll discuss in the next chapter. In the classical cases where you have money or checks or things that you forgot to check in your pants before your showers began, pockets or whatever you didn't check that you're wearing. So then you pick it up and you shake it off. That's the halacha. We'll discuss if you are walking, you find it in your pocket. So that's really a whole discussion in itself. But for now, lastly, when it comes to an item that you don't really need, so and it has mukta on, you're not allowed to carry it. Or an example, the classical example is you have a child that's holding on to something that's mukta. Even if it's a shusayach, let's say he has a stone. So you're not allowed to pick him up. You're not picking him up. You're not trying to you're not picking him up in order to get rid of the mukta. So now there's of course children on different levels. A child that is going to have what's called gagui, an interesting concept. A child longs for his parent, and therefore if you don't pick him up, he's gonna get sick. So then there's more room to be lenient. And we're talking about a case where he won't be able to, if you throw away the stone, he's gonna scream and cry and throw a tantrum. So then you're allowed to hold him by his hands in Shusha Yachid. That means you can pick him up in your hands in Shusha Yachid. Now, if the child has a coin, you're not even allowed to hold on to his hand when he's walking, even in Shusha Yachid. Now, why is that? Because we're worried the coin is going to fall, and then you're going to pick up mukta. And this is true according to Kishon, even if he has longing for his parents. Now, the Kitzur says that this is even if there's some type of sickness that could develop from this. And on that, there are Chayim that argue, as the Bialacha points out. So certainly in this situation, I think there's room to be lenient.